Boker Tov world. Today's daf, Masechet Gittin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Chof Gimel. We're holding right at the Halakha of Mishnah on daf Chof Beis Amid Beis at the bottom. And if it gets us an opportunity to get a Richie, you know, maybe we should have him start. Especially since Zoom has put Doc right on top, and now he's going to have to perform properly. Okay, Doc is writing a prescription. Akoki Sherim Lichtovet Haget. Thank you, Rich. Akoki Sherim Lichtovet Haget, Afil Kherishoteve Katan. Quite surprisingly, since we've been talking about this Lishma forever, all of a sudden we're told that even people without any das can write a get. Kherishoteve Katan. And here we get to the Mishnah that talks about a woman writing her own get. Aisha kotevet et kita, as we saw before. And Aish kotevet shovro. So this was the raya that we brought earlier, that if a woman can write her own get, it means that she's able to give over the contract to her husband, Balev Shalem, with a real kinyan, and that then he goes and gives it to her, and that would be included in the kata v'natan. She'ein kiyum ha'get ela b'chot ma. Because, after all, the get is not the writing of the get. The get is when it's signed. They're the ones who are mekayim it, and therefore, if she wrote the get, it doesn't mean she's divorcing herself. She just provided the intent in terms of the, not intent, but the meaning in terms of the writing. But what turned it into articles of gerushin is the davar of the chatima. Okay. We'll talk about all of this in the Gemara. So the first question is, Alav b'nei deyanin. So if they don't have dad, how will they be able to be kotev lishma? Now, before we begin the sugya, we need to recognize that there are quite a few different issues that need to be taken into consideration in which we're going to be doing over the course of the next two Mishnahs, this Mishnah and the next Mishnah, of what actually is necessary, what are the elements that are necessary in order for a person to be able to either write, bring, and so on and so forth, the get. So we have a number of different questions. The Gemara's kasha over here of da'at is very misleading, because the truth is, you do not need da'at to write the get. You do need kavana to write the get, because you need to be able to do it lishma, assuming that writing of the get needs to be lishma, which of course we know is a machlokas between Rebbe Lozer and Rebbe Meir. According to Rebbe Meir, it's only the signature that needs to be lishma. According to Rebbe Elazar, it's the actual ktiva, because he holds that Eide Mesira Karte. So you would think that when the Gemara asks a question, v'alav b'nei de'aninu, it means that there's a fundamental requirement for da'at. That's an error. There is, as Rashi points out, alav b'nei de'a means lo yed'u lichtov lishma. Not that they don't have das to write lishma. They won't know that they need to write lishma. There's a tremendous difference between those two things. What is needed over here on the part of the Chereshet of Akotin who are writing is not da'at, it's kavana. Now, kavana does not require the additional mental capacity of being connected to what it is that your mind tells you. Where does it say that you need that for the ketiva of the get? You do need to be able to have a purpose in what it is that you're doing. And if you don't have the understanding of what's going on, how will you know that you're supposed to be writing to that purpose? That's the Gemara's question. Let's take into consideration some of the other things that we need to know. So in certain things, we're going to need da'at. In certain things, we're going to need kavanah. In certain things, we're going to need shlichut. In certain things, we are going to need the capability of shlichut that revolves around two things. One of them is that in order for a shliach to be able to achieve a shlichut for someone else, he has to be able to do that same type of thing for himself. So, in other words, let's take the case where we want to appoint a goy as a shliach for hava'at haget. The goy is not included in the din of gittin and kedushin. They don't have the concept of gittin and kedushin. Since he cannot engage in that activity for himself, he cannot be a shliach for another individual either. That is called she'eno betorat gittin v'kedushin. Gavi is very busy here, but I hope he'll write this down. So that's, by the way, the name of a famous sefer, Torat Gittin, on Gittin by the Netivot, one of the most important sforim, and it's a takeoff on this idea. Betorat Gittin v'kedushin. Another thing is that in certain cases, the din is that in order to be a shliach, you need to be a ben brit. Does that mean that you need to be a Yisrael? Not necessarily. Because the concept of being a complete Yisrael with Kedushas Yisrael would exclude an Eved. But the fact that you have to be a Ben Brit alone would include an Eved, because an Eved actually is a Ben Brit. Now, these different concepts are the concepts that we're going to explore today. And if we do understand that da'at here is not the issue in terms of the k'tiva, lishma, but rather kavana is, then the Gemara is much easier to understand. V'alav b'nei de'aninu, Omer Rav Huna, it's talking about that she'yeh gadol omeid al gabav. So there is a person who does know that it has to be written lishma. He is standing there, and he is telling them, listen, you have to write this with the intent that it should be a contract for the gerushin of Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so. That means that the katan is now going to be able to be mechaven. Mechaven means he has a direction. He will have that direction, and he will do it because he's being so directed by the gadol. And there's no reason for him not to do it for those reasons that he's being told to. So then if that's the case, if you don't need more than that kavana, why couldn't you use a goy and let an Ovid Kochavim be writing the get and say that it would be kosher as long as the Yisrael is Omed Agabav? So it should also be kosher. Hachinami to kosher. Now, you'll tell me, okay, maybe it is. Who says it isn't? Because v'chite ma'achinam, if you try to tell me, okay, what's your objection? That's true. Then I can show you that it's not true. Because we have in a braita that says b'ferish, oved kochavim is possible from the ksivas haget, even if you have someone who's omed al-gabav, as we'll see later on. So, how to explain that? If all that we need is not shlichut, now we understand. And now consider for a moment why I would think that you do need shlichut. Because since the Torah says vikatavla, you would take that to mean that the husband has to write. And if the husband has to write, if somebody's going to do it for him, so then he has to be a shliach of the husband. The problem is that someone without da'at cannot be appointed as a shliach. He may be able to do things, but he is not able to be a shliach. That we learn out from various psukim, which we'll talk about when we get to the issue of shlichut presently. But in any event, that's the reason I would have thought. The problem is, as Tosfos explains, vikatav does not mean that the husband particularly has to write and that he has to appoint a shliach. The katav could be referring to the sofer. The only reason that we say that the sofer has to be commissioned is because if he isn't commissioned, it's impossible to say that the get is written lishma, because lishma means that there has to be an intent to divorce. And if I don't know that the husband has an intent to divorce, how can a get be written with intent to divorce, since isha lav legerishin kaima? We don't say that min hastam, when you see a woman walking down the street, that she is meant to be migureshet. And therefore, there's no way to make it lishma. Just on the off chance, the sofer says, well, I hear they've been fighting. Let me write a get so that I'll be the first one to make money off of it. That's not going to help, because yishav lav legerishin kaim. Okay.
Should he just have to appoint himself to write a get? Can you use the intent to
Yes, you don't have to. That's exactly the point we're making here. You don't have to create a shliach to write a get. If you needed to create a shliach, a goy can't be a shliach, and therefore we wouldn't have any of these questions. If you needed to create a shliach, a katan could not be a shliach. And therefore it wouldn't help that you would have a maid agabah. That's the point that we're making here. So we need to distinguish, if we're going to understand the sugya properly, we need to understand the variations that are elemental to this sugya. So we don't need shlichut, we don't need da'at, we do need kavanah. Kavanah can be provided by a gadol omed al gabav. And that would mean that in other cases where a kavanah is clearly part of what a katan is doing, for instance, the Gemara Chulin talks about a case, if a katan is shochet a animal of hegdash, and he moves the animal to the tzafon, because it's kotche kotche. So it's clear that he has intent to be shechting for kadesh. That is called, Mr. Gavi, machshavto nikeret mitoch ma'asav. That we can see what his kavana is, what his thought is. Now, it doesn't create dot, but it does create direction. And if that direction is very clear from what he's doing, then we don't need a gadol omed al gabav to tell him, because we see that he's doing it without the gadol omed al gabav, which means that we are not using the dot of the gadol. Don't make the mistake of thinking we'll apply the dot of the gadol to the actions of the katan. That's not what's happening. So the gadol is simply telling him what to do, and therefore he will do it in terms of what his intent is. But why can't we do the same thing for an Oved Kochavim is the question. And Ravuna answers, you can't, because an Oved Kochavim l'daita d'nafshei ovad. The Katan will do it for you if you ask him to do it. The Goy, who has got a mind of his own, in this sense he has a da'at of his own, cannot be in any way evidently doing something l'shma just because you tell him to. So, I mean, if he has the intent of writing it for someone else, you know, then it's a useless get. And you cannot be sure that he's doing it for you. In which case, you cannot use the Oved Kochavim for writing. Hodar Omer Rav Nachman. Anyway, this was Rav Nachman's question to Ravuna. This was Ravuna's solution. You're right. A goy cannot write a get. And the only reason is because he is not trusted to write it with this particular intent. After all of this discussion, Rav Nachman said, oh boy, I was stupid. It was all wrong what I was saying. Actually, a goy could write a get. And what I was telling, asking as a kasha to Ravuna was all wrong. Lav milta hi de amre. Because if you take a look at the next Mishnah, the next Mishnah says that an Oved Kochavim is not allowed to bring a get. Why not? Because he cannot be a shliach. Why can he not be a shliach? For two reasons. First of all, he can't be a shliach because we have in the pasuk a limud that a shliach needs to be a ben brit. Kein tarimu gam atem ma atem bnei brit af shluchachem bnei brit. That's one good reason. He's not a ben brit. And the other reason is because of the fact that he's eino b'torat gitin v'kiddushin. And that in general, a shliach that is not part of something cannot be included in that din of shlichut, because he doesn't have the capability of doing such a thing at all for himself. How can he do it for somebody else? But since the next Mishnah says that a goy cannot be a shliach, and over there it lists the goy together with the chayr shayt v'kata, who can also not be shluchim. And here it does not list the goy, it only says the chereshayt of a katan, then obviously, michlal de le'inyan k'tiva, it is kosher. And the only problem that we have is chutz b'chereshayt of a katan. But a goy would be able to write. Now, didn't I bring you a braita that said, don't try to tell me that a goy can write, because it says beferish in the braita that a goy cannot write a get? Ha ha ha! We have been oversimplifying, says Reb Nachman. I misunderstood the whole idea. That braita is going aliba de Rabbi Elazar. Lima Rebbe Elazar, the ketiva needs to be lishma, because there is no chatima, Lima Rebbe Elazar, that is necessary in the Torah. And therefore, if the Torah says v'katavla lishma, what might it be referring to other than the ketiva? Nothing. So it's true. According to Rebbe Elazar, if the ketiva is not guaranteed lishma, you can't use it. How do we know that the guy is writing it lishma? He's got his own mind, his own intentions. Maybe he wants to make off with this get and give it to somebody that's a friend of his, or he thinks he can make money off of, who's got the same name and so on. So it doesn't mean anything. He's not really interested in what I'm telling him. That's a completely different thing. However, that's because we need ketiva lishma according to Rebbe Elazar. And of course, as we said, I mean, Rav Huna was right in what he said, that an Oved Kochavim is definitely doing things for himself on his own mind, and we have no way of utilizing it. So the Braita, which is going on, Lieber Rebbe Elazar, indeed says that an Oved Kochavim is possible for Ketiva to get. The Mishnah, which I believe, says Rav Nachum, will be going on, Lieber Rebbe Meir, and therefore does not hold that you need to do the Ketiva Lishma. It's not going. It's not a problem. And indeed, it leaves out a goy from the list of the people that are possible for ksiva saget because the goy is kosher. Why not? We don't need ktiva lishma aliba de Rebbe Meir. So now the question of how did this whole discussion begin before Reb Nachman wised up to the fact that we've got to deal with the issue of Rebbe Meir and Rebbe Elazar. Like, what did we think? When the Gemara asked that original question, how could you say that a Cheir Shet of a Katan can write a get? V'halav b'nei de'aninu. Was that question asked only Aliyah b'de Rebbe Elazar, and we took for granted that it was Rebbe Elazar, and only afterwards Reb Nachman figured out that we have to distinguish between the Braita that passes the Goy, that's Rebbe Elazar, but the Mishnah over here is going Aliyah b'de Rebbe Meir? Is that how we learn it? So Tosfos has three possible explanations of what it is that we initially thought. One explanation is, indeed, we took for granted that the Mishnah over here is going Aliba de Rebbe Elazar, because, after all, Rebbe Meir does not require Ktiva Lishma. And then Rebbe Nachman figured out that actually there's a machlokas between the Braisa and the Mishnah, and he figured that out on the basis of the fact that if you contrast this Mishnah with the next Mishnah, which are basically one sugya, and in the second part it says, chutz b'cheres shaita v'katan ve'oved kochavim, in terms of shlichut, and here it didn't mention oved kochavim, obviously the oved kochavim is kosher here, and I made a mistake, and that would mean that the Mishnah is going Aliba de Rebbe Meir when I thought it was going to Aliba de Rebbe Elazar, and therefore the whole thing wasn't a problem. We don't have to say anymore that it's talking about a Godol Oymed Al Gabav, right? Because now, if we're saying that it's going Aliba de Rebbe Meir, Rebbe Meir does not require Ketiva Lishma, and therefore who cares? Basically, the Katan is a writing machine. It's a printer. It's a computer printing out a get. It's not relevant to us whether it has a mind or doesn't have a mind. We don't need kavana. Okay, that would be the simple way of learning the sugya, and that the whole discussion that we had about Godol Oymed Al Gabav is now hereby declared moot. The other ways of learning, which Tosfos suggests, is that perhaps, well, I shouldn't talk, one of the Balei Tosfos suggests, is that perhaps, even according to Rebbe Meir, you need a ktiva lishma min rabbana, and that therefore we were asking, well, what do we do about the fact that it's not written lishma min rabbana? And the third approach of Tosfos is a drastic departure from the way we've understood things until now, which is that the Gemara's hava amina was, as opposed to the way we work it out in the end, the Gemara's hava amina was that when Rebbe Meir says v'katavla, it's referring to the chatima, he never meant to suggest that v'katavla does not refer to the get. Of course a woman can have kavana. What's the matter with you? The woman has everything. So when he said v'katav, he didn't mean and not the get, only the chatima. Where would you get that idea from? The v'katavla means every part of the get that is necessary for the get, which includes the toref of the get, and which includes the chatima, which makes the get usable. That's what we thought at this point. Now, in the end, actually, what Rav Nachman is doing is revising our understanding to Rabbi Meir to make it the way that we've understood Rabbi Meir until now, which is that he literally learns the word v'katav, lishma, la lishma, as a reference only to the ktiva of the Edom, which turned the get into the viable document. So we've got three different ways of understanding the shakravataria of the sugya over here in terms of what did we initially think. So currently what we're saying is the Mishnah that says that a goy is, that implies that a goy is kosher for ktivat haget, holds that the ktiva of the get does not have to be done lishma. And because of that, the cheresh shayta v'katan do not require a godol oimed al gabav, and that is because it's all going out leave to Rabbi Meir, the way Reb Nachman understands Rabbi Meir. The braita that says that a goy is possible holds that you do need a ktiva lishma, and therefore would go along with the Mishnah that cheresh shayta v'katan is kosher, but only in the event that you had a godol oimed al gabayam, who is telling them what their kavana has to be. All right, so this is how it is that we're learning it now. So ahi, Rebbe Lazar Domrim Eidem Isira Karte, Ubeinan Ktiva Lashma, and certainly an Ovik Echovim cannot be relied upon to write a get Lashma because he's Al Daite Denafshe. Now, that means that according to Reb Nachman, Rebbe Meir is now understood as not having any requirements whatsoever for a get to be written lishma. Not min rabbanan, and not certainly not midiraisa. It's not talking about the ktiva of the get. It's only referring to the chatima, and therefore, let's take it one extra step, which is that Omer Reb Nachman, Omer haya Rabbi Meir, afilo mitzao ba ashpa, chatamo v'natnula, natnula kasher. You found a get in the garbage pail, which happens to have your name on it, the name of your wife on it, the correct city, and obviously was generated not in order to provide for your gerushin. It's a perfectly kosher get if you take that get and have it signed by witnesses. So you cannot get a clearer description of Rabbi Meir Shita than this that Reb Nachman is telling us. There is absolutely no lishma whatsoever that is necessary for the ktivat haget, only for the chatimat haget. Eitvei Ravel Reb Nachman, is that really possible? Does it not say in the Torah v'katavla? And surely v'katavla means it has to include at least the ktivat haget, doesn't it? My love, ktivat haget. So how can Rabbi Meir say you can use a get that you find in the garbage can? And here is exactly the moment of truth in which the Gemara tells us that the meaning of the machlokas of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Lazar is mina katze el hakatze. According to Rabbi Meir, v'katavla has no reference to the get. It's only references to that which turns a get into a meaningful document that is performative, and that is the chatimata edim, and therefore the only meaning of the ketiva would be in terms of the signing. Chatimata edim. And since over here, when we found it in the garbage pail, there were no edim yet, it's a meaningless piece of paper. What makes it a meaningful piece of paper, a meaningful get, I should say, is the fact that afterwards, subsequently to finding it in the garbage pail, he has the edim bichotem l'shem his gitim. Eitvei Rava, can you really believe this? If the Mishnah says, beferish, tomorrow, kol get shenichtav shalo l'shem isha basru, says beferish, any get that is written not for this woman is possible. No. According to Rabbi Meir, says Rabbi Nachman, the meaning of the Mishnah is Ema Shenechtam Shelo L'Shum Isha, because the meaning of Shenechtam, Alibra Rabbi Meir, is literally Shenechtam. Phew, it's amazing. Eisvei Zorova has yet another thing that's bothering him. It says in the Braita, when you write a part of a get, lishma, kishahu kotvo, so if he does that, it's as if he wrote it lishma. Now, the statement makes no sense, right? Kishu kotvo, ki ilu kotvo lishma. When he writes it, it's like he's writing it lishma. What does that mean? I mean, the only way that it makes any sense would be to say like this, that if he writes the Torah of the get lishma, the Torah remembers the Shema Ish and the Shema Isha and the date, which we'll discuss exactly what goes into the Torah, whether it includes Arayat Mutarat L'chol Adam and so on. But in any event, that first line that includes that specific information, which is called the Torah as opposed to all of the standard Nusach of the get, which can be printed out by computer. So if he writes the Torah, it's as if he wrote the whole thing Lishma, and there's nothing to worry about, because the only part that must be Lishma is the Torah, right? So, but I mean, it's certainly taking for granted that some part of the actual words of the get, not the Chatima. I mean, how could this language possibly refer to a Chatima if it's talking about partially? When he writes this, it's as if he wrote that. I mean, I don't understand what that can refer to other than the different levels of text in the get. Partially Torah, partially Tofes. That's something that has become very evident to us, that there are different aspects of get. You know, Gavi, maybe it's kedai to even make this a basic idea so people don't get confused. Torah is one idea and Tofes is another. So that would be saying that you'd have to actually write at least part of the get, Lishma? No. Maybe it means that when you sign, Kishu Kotvo, you put on your John Hancock onto that get, you have turned that get into the entire idea of the Kasavla, Lishma, as if the whole thing were written Lishma. That's what it means. Now, the problem is that, of course, John Hancock would not work, but that's because when it comes to Adas, we also require the edus here of someone who is interested in the Kiddushin and possibly Yisrael. This discussion we had in the question of the normal shtarot, where there's the difference between performative shtarot. We said, remember, kigite nashim, any performative shtar that says John Hancock on it would not be a kosher shtar. Unless it says Yochanan Hancock, maybe. All right. Anyway, so therefore the correct understanding is kishu chot molishma ki ilu chot volishma. Well, you know what? I mean, none of these things are really serious questions, says Reb Nachman. They might also be representative of the difference between the sheet of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar. I mean, you can't ask Akasha, well, it says in all of these places that you need ketiva lishma, because what if they're all going a little bit to Rabbi Elazar, who holds Eidim Isira Karte? And then, of course, you do actually need Ketiva Lishma. So fine. That's the simplest understanding of the whole business. So all of these brises that we just brought you, Mishnahs and brises, they are all Rabbi Elazar, he, the Omer, Edim, Isira, Karate, and then we don't have to kvetch to say it's talking about this, it's talking about that. It's very simple. It's exactly what it means, but we're paskening like Rabbi Elazar. So this is the other interpretation. So we've got two possible ways of understanding it. When you write the Tofes Lishma, the Torah Lishma, it's as if you wrote the Tofes Lishma. When you do the Chatima Lishma, it's as if you did the Ktiva Lishma. And now Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel says that actually this whole idea can be put into the Mishnah itself. Maybe what the Mishnah means is not all binary the way you're making it. That if it's going like Rabbi Meir, so then, and it's leaving out the problem of the Akum, so then it's dealing with the Katan and Shaita. It's dealing with them because there's a Godol Omid Agavav, which is like really problematic, right? Because, I mean, it's inserting something that's not there at all. We're going to have to say, well, it must be talking about a case like this. It's very simple. If you are ready, says Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, says this, which is very consistent with the way Shmuel was dealing with the sugyas, that if we understand there's a difference between the Torah and the Tofes, so why can't we say that our Mishnah is talking about writing a get, yes, according to anybody, and it doesn't matter if he's a goy or a chereshet of a cotton, as long as he's only printing out the part of the get that doesn't require lishma. That's all. So then the words she'ein kiyum a get ela bechotma have nothing to do with the point of the cheres shait of a cotton. It's just the question of the isha koteva that kita. And as long as you left out the mokam atoref, so then anybody, who cares who's writing it, right? And I mean, this is very consistent with the way that Shmuel learns anyway, because he said the same thing about the Mishnah before. He said if the sofer did not write the toref, and then he cut off the get from the ground, and then he put in the toref, then it's kosher. Exactly. We're dealing with, remember, the same issue that pasuls the lishma, the vikatavla, is also vinatan. So anything that's going to pasul the one, remember, we always use this as the way that we could prove who is saying what. So if you hold that the ktiva has to be lishma on the actual get, then it means that the writing on the ground or on something mechubar to the ground would be pasul. If you hold that it's the chatima, so if you cut it off before you did the chatima from the ground, then you did the chatima, it would be kosher. We had this way back at the beginning. Now, Shmuel learned the Mishnah that we just had before exactly this way, that if the sofer had written the tofes of the get, and then he cut off the plant from the ground, and then he completed the names, and he put in the name of the man and the woman, and so he would then write the Torah again, it would be kosher. This is Shmuel, consistent with the Shita before. We don't have to get into the question of whether the entire get needs to be written Mishmar or not. It could simply be going to everybody if we're ready to say that it's referring only to the Tofes over here, in which case a goy can write the Tofes, a printer can write the Tofes, it has nothing to do with anything. And we certainly don't need a Godol Omin Al-Gabav, and therefore we have a simple explanation of the Mishnah. So now we have three possible explanations of the Mishnah. Chayr Shoyt V'Katan, and a goy can write the printer part. And then, even if we're going Alibi to Rabbi Elazar, we could still say this, that the Mishnah is being Machshir Goy because it's only talking about the Tofes. Rabbi Zrika says, ach, that's crazy. Rabbi Yochanan says, Eina Torah. This is nothing. This is ridiculous. That's not actually acceptable. What's wrong with it? What do you mean? My Eina Torah, understand. I mean, it's a weird way of saying something's wrong. Eina Torah? Now, the truth is that this is a beautiful insight into the recognition of the nature of what we mean when we talk about Da'at Torah. When he's saying Eina Torah, he's not saying it's wrong, and I can show you that what you're saying is wrong. He's saying it's wrong because it's not what we're talking about, which is a completely different idea. It's wrong because it's not the way the Torah thinks. And therefore, don't try to press it in, even though there is no absolute proof or syllogism that's going to show you that it's wrong. It's just not what the Torah is about. Why not? Because, look, if you analyze what the Mishnah is saying, what is it really saying? It's saying, Lishma? Who gives a damn about Lishma? Right? That's what it's saying. Because it's like, it's so overstated. You know, telling me Goyim and Cheresh and Shait V'Kat, I mean, without explaining, without saying anything, it's hitting you right in the solar plexus when you're coming along in the Sechet Gittin and you're all waving the flags of Lishma, Lishem, Atzism, and everything else, and all of a sudden somebody comes and says, pay no attention to the guy talking about the Shem Matzah Mitzvah over there, right? I mean, that's a blow, really, a solar plexus, okay? That's what the Mishnah is doing, don't you see? Kan hodiacha, the whole point that the Tana is making is that you can be a madman. You could be a two-year-old. It's still a kosher get. What? Yes, it's telling you, she'ein koach lishma. Stop worrying about this lishma jazz. That's the whole point of the Mishnah. Therefore, it's forcing you to understand that the Mishnah is Rabbi Meir, and that's the whole point, that Ede Chatima Karte, and it's basically stating to you, the way that Reb Nachman talked about, you can find a get in the garbage pail. Is that not a solar plexus blow? Absolutely. It's the same idea in the Mishnah. And to try to say, well, but it could mean the Tofes and not the Turef, and it could mean that there's a Gadol Omid Al Gabav, that's not what the Torah is saying. And therefore, says Rabbi Yochanan, that's the way to understand it. But wait a minute, you're quoting this from Rabbi Yochanan, but Rabbi Yochanan didn't say that. Because what we know from Rabbi Yochanan is from Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, and he said that the Mishnah is going Aliba to Rabbi Elazar. And it's not telling me that, I mean, what we have is two Mishnayos, right? First, we said, Ein Kotvim B'Mechub L'Karka, which means that the issue is entirely about the Ktivat HaGet. Then all of a sudden we come to a Mishnah that says, don't worry about the Ktivat Lishma. So it must be that we've got two separate Shitas, and that actually we were talking Aliba, the Mishnah, that is talking about two different dinim. Is there a requirement of ktiva? If there is, then it can't be attached to the ground. Masha Enkein, is there no requirement of lishma? Then that must be going aliba to Rabbi Meir. And so we've got two different mishnayos, and that means that the Gemara here is going, saying that Rabbi Yochanan is going aliba to Rabbi Meir. So make up your mind. I'm a Rainino. You're right. It's a contradiction. 100%. The Mishnah, the way that was Rabbi Yochanan, the way that Rabbi Zrika was quoting it, was Enachinami, that it's going totally Aliba to Rabbi Meir, who holds Ede Chatima Karte. Masha Enkein, according to the way we're quoting it now, and when we're dealing with that Mishnah, he said Beferish, that it's Aliba to Rabbi Lozer, so then we'd have to say that he holds like Rabbi Elazar, not like Rabbi Meir. So who does he hold like? I don't understand. He interprets that Mishnah the way Rabbi Bar Bar Chana quotes him. He interprets it Aliba to Rabbi Elazar, and over here, the way Rabbi Zrika, he interprets it Aliba to Rabbi Meir. Something's wrong. Yeah, but it often happens, says the Gemara, because we know that Rabbi Yochanan taught at different times, taught different people, and we often find that there are machlokas in an Amoraim about what Rabbi Meir's final considered opinion was. And Amoraim ninu ve'aliba de Rabbi Yochanan, so enochinami. According to Rabbi Zrika, Rabbi Yochanan followed the approach of Rabbi Meir throughout. And according to Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, he was following Rabbi Elazar throughout. Fine, no problem, unless you're a Richie. If you're a Richie, now you've got a problem. Namely, you have to put aside your cereal bowl and take up the steering wheel. Capitan. Say it. The Titanic was sunk in less. I'm assuming he said it and we didn't hear it. So that we could put it on a chazaka. Okay. Hakol kisherim lahavi et haget. So here's the next Mishnah that actually Reb Nachman was referring to. In this case, when it's talking about shlichut, it mentions not only the problem of being a chereshet of a katan, but it adds two things. First of all, a blind person, for some reason, is possible, and an Oved Kochavim is possible. Now, suppose, and the Gemara is going to explain all of this. Now, suppose a Katan gets the get as a Katan, and it's the day before his bar mitzvah. The next day, he brings the get to the wife as a Gadol. How about that? Or how about somebody who was a Cheresh at the time that the get was given to him, and then he became Nitpakach. He regained his ability to hear and to speak. Or suppose he was blind, and then he was Nitpatach. He got his sight back. Or suppose he was insane, and then he became sane. Or suppose he was an Ovei Kochavim at the time that he received the Shlichut, and then he was mitgayer, and as a ger, he presented the get to the woman. In all of these cases, it's puzzle. Why? Because basically, at the time that you were made a shliach, the shlichut was not chal, because you couldn't be a shliach at that time. And therefore, if afterwards you became able to be a shliach, it's not going to help you. But suppose you were a normal pikeach who became a cherish. So in other words, you were given the get as a normal person. You had, not you, chas v'chalila, but the person who accepted it had a stroke in which he lost his ability to communicate, and then he recovered. And as a recovered stroke victim, he delivers the get. So that means at the time that he was made a shliach, he was a kosher shliach. At the time that he made the delivery, he made a kosher delivery as a kosher shliach, and there was a period in between in which he would not have been able to do what he needed to do. That's not a problem. If he was, at the time that he got the shlichut, he was able to see, and then he lost his eyesight, and then he regained it, again a stroke victim. Or he is a victim of manic depression. He was shafui, he was perfectly okay at the time that you gave him the get, went nuts in between, and then it became normal. All of these cases, there's no problem. The overall rule being zaklal, kol shetchilato v'sofo b'da'at, as long as he was. Now, this is fascinating. It doesn't say kol shetchilato v'sofo b'kashrut. It says kol shetchilato v'sofo b'da'at. What does that have to do with seeing or not seeing? Ah, that we're going to have to look at in a moment. Kosher. Asks the Gemara, I understand the chereshayt of a cotton business, because they're lav b'nei de'aninu, and over here, it is a din in da'at, not in kavana. That's why I said it's quite confusing when we said v'ha lav b'nei de'aninu before. Because over here, this is based on the pasuk of ish celibate avot. Ish celibate avot means a man, which is a grown man, not a child, is able to do to bring the Korban Pesach for the family. And it means that you cannot be a shliach if you're not a grown man. Okay, so I understand that you need da'at. The Ove Kochavim also is a ben da'at, but he's pasul, because he is not part of Teras Gittin. And Lav Bar Heterahu. Now, basically, we could have said that he's pasul because he's not a ben brit. But we want to say that it's because of the fact that he's not Teras Gittin, because that will include an Eved, gentlemen. Whereas if I would have said it's because he's not a Ben Brit, it would have meant that an Eved would be kosher. So we want to talk about the broader disqualification, right? Okay, but what in the world is wrong with someone who's blind? He doesn't have a psul. Omer of Sheshes, Lefisha Eno Yodea, Mimi Notlo, Ulami Noteno. He cannot be absolutely sure that he is giving the get to the right person. He's dependent on somebody telling him, this is the person that you were told to give the get to. So how could he deliver a get? He doesn't know the person who gave it to him unless somebody tells him, but how can he trust him? Matkifla Rav Yosef, both of these people being blind. Matkifla Rav Yosef. So according to you, how can a blind man ever have relations with his own wife? How does he know that he's not sleeping with some other woman? And what about people who are not blind, but it's pitch black? How are they allowed to have intercourse with women at night when these women might actually be their mother? I don't know. So if you're telling me they don't know, obviously they know. You don't need to see to know, do you? You can identify people through just hearing their voice. So that cannot be the reason. I'll tell you the reason. We're not talking about any old shliach for halacha. We're talking about bringing a get from Chutz Laretz, where he needs to say b'fanai nechtav or b'fanai nechtam. And he can't say that because he did not see b'fanai nechtav or b'fanai nechtam. V'lo matzila meimar. Omale Abaye. So wait, if that's the case, then if he was blind at the time that he got the get, he's possible. But if he was seeing at the time that he got the get, and afterwards he became blind, he should be kosher, even though he's still blind at the moment that he's delivering the get, because it's not a psul in the shlichus. And he could certainly still say, I was sighted at the time, and I saw b'fanai nechtav b'fanai nechtam. So there, motzi amar b'fanai nechtav, he should be kosher. But the Mishnah says that only if the person who got the get at the time that he was a seeing individual, and he then lost his sight, only if he got his sight back, it says chazav nitpatach, only betach nitpatach, then it's kosher. But if not, chazav nitpatach in, but lo chazav nitpatach lo. So you see that you need to actually have your sight back at the time of the delivery. And therefore, your explanation makes no sense, because you could still say fanai nechtam, even without having the sight back at the time of the delivery. No. That's the whole beauty of the Mishnah, my friend. Hu adini avagav de lo chazav nitpatach. He does not need his sight back. But since it's said in the other cases, shafui v'nishtata v'chazar v'nishtafa, and so on. Over there, you indeed need to get your mind back. And if you didn't get your mind back, you would not be a kosher shliach. You're not competent. Therefore, use the same language here for getting your sight back, but you don't need your sight back, says Rav Ashi. I'll prove it to you. That's the beauty of our Mishnah. Daika nami dichtov, why do you explain the klal? Ze haklal. Kol shetchilato v'sofo bida'at. Why bida'at? The Summa had nothing to do with da'at. If it was including the case of the Summa, it should have said, kol shetchilato v'sofo bikashrut is kosher. But it avoids that, which would be the more accurate description. I'll tell you why it avoids it, because it ain't true. You do not need to get the sight back. Brilliant. Beautiful diuk. Can an eved be a shliach to be mekabel a get of a woman? Omar lehu, this is not the eved of the people, just an eved in general. Is he kosher for shlichut? Says Rav Ami, well, the Mishnah stresses that a goy is puzzle, and it's mashba that the eved is kosher, because it could have told us a bigger chiddush that even an eved who's chayiv in mitzvahs also would be puzzle. So it must be that an eved is kosher. Omar Rav Asi, Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Actually, eina evenasa shliach lekabel get liisha miyad ba'ala. Why? For another reason. Lefisha eina betorat gitin v'kiddushin. So since basically there is no din of real marriage for an evet knani, that must be that he would be possible to actually be a shliach. Matkif lo Rav Elazar. The only reason that taima, why did we say that Rabbi Yochanan can't be an eved for Kabbalah Saget? Is bemilta delete, bemilta deite kasher? So what would you be saying? That it's only because he's not Bateres Gittin. But if he were Bateres Gittin, well, an oved kochavi, va oved kochavi, and what about a kuti? Okay. We're over there, they are betorat truma, aren't they? They have to take off truma from their own things. And, I mean, it's a Mishnah. It's a Beferisha Mishnah that says in trumas that a goy who took off truma, as it says over here, ovikachovim vakuti, they take off their own truma, it's kosher, trumatan truma. But there's another Mishnah that says Beferisha, the opening of the Masechet, for heaven's sake, that says, Oved kochavim shetoram shel Yisrael, even though he was made a shliach and the Yisrael gave him rishus to go take my truma off for me, ain truma to truma. Now, why do you think that's true? He is b'teras truma. Is it not because lav mishum dechsiv, kein tarimu gam atem? Why did the Torah have to say kein tarimu gam atem? Why didn't it say kein tarimu atem? Gamata means not only you, but also your shluchim. Which means that the Torah is putting together the shliach with the mishaleach. Just like atem, just like you are Yisrael, so too shluchachem are Yisrael. So why does Rabbi Yochanan claim that an eved kanani is possible because eino b'teras gittin v'kiddushin? Mashba that otherwise there's no problem, he can be a shliach. And over here you see, even if he is b'teras truma, that you cannot be a shliach, because only a complete Yisrael can be a shliach. Amri devei Reb Yonai, no. The reason that he's potzel is not because ma'atem Yisrael, av shluchachem Yisrael. It's because ma'atem b'nei brit, av shluchachem b'nei brit, and an Eved Knani is a ben brit. That's the difference. And therefore, he could, if it wouldn't be for Eina B'teras Gittin V'Kedushin, he would be a shliach. So therefore, the only problem here is that he's not a shliach by virtue of this new issue. So again, we have expanded our repertoire over here, right? We now know that there's quite a few different elements that need to be taken into consideration. The issue of da'at, the issue of the ability to report, which is the requirement of the Summa, the question of whether you are a Ben Brit, and furthermore, the question of whether you're included in the dinim that you are dealing with. Now, even though the cases, perhaps, of Cheresh, Shaita V'Katan, you would say is not B'teras Gittin V'Kiddushin, and that would be enough to passel him, is not true, as Tosus points out. He is considered to be B'teras Gittin V'Kiddushin, because ultimately he's going up, and it's part of what he is. So he's an incipient B'teras V'Kiddushin. Omer Abchia Bar Hava Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Ein ha'eved nasa shliach lekabel get isha miyad ba'ala lefi she'eno b'torat gitin v'kiddushin. And even though we have a halacha that seems to be not like that in a braita, the braita says a very fascinating thing. A man owns a shifcha, and he comes over to her one day. She's a pregnant shifcha. And he says, look, I want you to be mekabel this get shichrur for your fetus, but you remain a shifcha. And I'm giving your fetus a get shichrur. Now I have a hard time giving this into the hands of your fetus, so I'm going to make you a shliach to be mekabel this for your fetus. And it says, imaita ubra, if indeed she was pregnant at that point, then she was zocha for the fetus, and the fetus becomes a ben chorin. So doesn't that show that an eved or a shivcha can be mekabel a shlichut? It's a very smart question, says Rabbi Yochanan, but it's wrong. I'll tell you how to answer it. If a guy whispers that in your ear, what you should do is emorlo. Just tell him. You know, there were two gedolei ador that got together and explained this between them. And I'm talking about Rabbi Zera and Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yitzchak. And one of them explained, we're going alibra Rebbe. Rebbe says that if you give a get shichrur to one half of your eved, that is a kosher get shichrur, and the eved gets a yad to be mekabel his shichrur from that half. And over here comes along the other Gadol Hadar explained what Rebbe is saying here in the case of the Uber is because he holds that an Uber is part of the mother. And therefore, it's the same as giving part of the Eved a Get Shichrur, which means that she gets her Yad to be Mekabel a Get at the same time that the Get is Chal, which is brilliant. And therefore, it has nothing to do with my halacha that an Eved cannot be a proper shliach for another Eved, that you would not be able to do, or for an Isha. Excellent, gentlemen. It has been great fun. Maybe not for you. That's the old notfot mar problem. But I've had great fun. So I have to thank you very much for being there to allow me to have the joy of learning with you. And I look forward, Bezrat Hashem, to being zocha yet another day to be able to go weiter in Teras Gittin. Kol Tov, and thank you so much. Hoshia et Amecha, Barechet Nachvatecha, V'Ein V'Nasim Ad Ha'olam.